T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, halfway home with you on the John Chuckery Show. Live in the Kia Studios, Tuesday night with you. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station, the show. Best way to catch us on the go is through the Odyssey app. I want you to put that on one of your devices. You can use your smartphone. You can use your I started getting myself mixed up there. You can use your Alexa speakers. You can use your tablet. You can use your fax machine, your Nikon camera, your Casio watch, your text instruments calculator, whatever your device is. Download on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media, find us at 92 on the Game, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. As always, the best way to be a part of the show, follow me on my personal Twitter page at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. We got our number one rated dopey millennial producer in the house tonight. Dylan is producing the show. Day-Day with us as well. So we will do Rank 'Em coming up at 10:40 this evening. So you can hit us up with a list either on the text line or on my Twitter page. So hit us up and we will get to that as well. We'll hear from Tony Schiavone. We had a chance to catch up with him earlier in the show. We'll do that at 9:40 for you this evening in case you missed that earlier. So always good to catch up with Tony. A lot of fun stuff. AEW Dynamite is here tomorrow night. So AEWTix.com if you're going to the show or want to get some tickets. It is in Duluth at the Gas South Arena. So that used to be like the Gwinnett Arena or whatever. You know, it's out there. It's on, what is that, Sugarloaf? That Sugarloaf Parkway, I think that's on out there. Yeah, Sugarloaf Parkway out there. So great arena out there and be a lot of fun. So and Dynamite's been a really good show here. I mean, to be honest with you, since they brought the WWE guys over, it's a much better show. I'm just saying. You know, some of the goofballs that that used to be on there, not on there now, and they got some of the real top talent. But anyway, AEWTix.com, we'll hear from Tony coming up at 9:40. This college coaching carousel that goes round and round and round and round, it's amazing. Let's take a look at a few things. You know, I said over the last, I guess it was week or so, and I was on that Sunday when Dan Mullen was fired. I think everybody has to be careful what you wish for. I understand Florida thinks Florida's one more bad coaching hire away from being what Oklahoma was between Barry Switzer and Bob Stoops and being what Alabama was between Gene Stallings and Nick Saban. You know, you get into that rut where you think that, well, just because of the name and logo, we should be great. There is some extent to that because you can get a lot of great kids that want to go to top programs, but you have to get the right guy at the end of the day, and you have to give him time to get some things turned around and fixed. I didn't think it was a smart thing to fire Dan Mullen, but I understand why. Randy McMichael and I talked about, you know, the fact that they didn't want Dan Mullen, you know, for many times just because the boosters and money people didn't get along with Dan. You know, I mean, he's an arrogant guy, hell of a coach, but, you know, he didn't get along with a lot of guys. So, but be careful what you wish for. As Southern Cal, now Notre Dame, you know, is open, Oklahoma's open. You know, where does a team like Florida fall in the pecking order of all that? You know, and look, they got Billy Napier, I think is a good coach. But at this level, he's an unknown commodity. Now, it can translate. We just saw Brian Kelly go from Notre Dame to LSU. Well, where do you think Brian Kelly cut his teeth? At Cincinnati. And we'll talk about the Notre Dame job coming up in our college football roundup because I want to get into a little bit more of why not with a particular guy. And I know Luke Fickle is one of the guys that's being – I could see Luke Fickle leaving Cincinnati to go to Notre Dame. I think that would be one of the jobs that Luke Fickle would leave. There are very, 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 very few jobs Luke Fickle would leave Cincinnati in the state of Ohio for. Notre Dame might be one of those. It'd be hard to say no to Notre Dame if they come calling for you. I think the Brian Kelly hire to LSU is terrific. I think Lincoln Riley going to Southern Cal is terrific. It does tell you a lot of things. Day-Day was asking me in the bullpen about why I thought that Brian Kelly left Notre Dame. I don't think it's a matter of I don't think he can win at Notre Dame. I think the problem is, look at Notre Dame right now at 11-1. They're sixth right now with all the chaos, right? with all the chaos that's gone on, they're still two spots out of a playoff spot. They still would have to jump two teams to get in the playoff. And 11-1. That's a tall task if you're a program and you go, you're Notre Dame, you're going to play six games in the ACC, you're going to play pretty much all Power 5 teams. You might throw in a smaller school here or there. Might throw in one of the military academies and stuff like that. But you're also talking about you're going to have Southern Cal and Stanford pretty much on the list. You might have Michigan every now and then, although they kind of got rid of that rivalry. But you look and say 11-1, and I can't get more than sixth. And I got to have everybody lose in front of me. The only way I'm getting the playoff is if I'm 12-0. That's a tall task for a coach to go 12-0. Because what's going to happen is, let's say he goes 11-1, 10-2 in 3 years and never makes a playoff. Well, can't get to it. Well, my God, the guy lost four games in 3 years. That's not good enough. It's not good enough to get in the playoff, though. And that's where Notre Dame gets hurt by being in a conference. Is Notre Dame going in a conference? Not a chance. Why would they split the money? I was telling Diddy, why would Notre Dame split money with Pittsburgh and Wake Forest? Why? Why would they go do that? They don't need to in football. They can run their own show. Again, getting in the playoff is about the fans and stuff like that, you know, out of all of it. So I think the Brian Kelly, the LSU, I think that's a good hire. Brian Kelly will recruit like crazy, I promise you. He's got a great school, a great program right now. He's a great recruiter. He's going to bring plenty of kids in. Lincoln Riley to USC, I understand some of that too. This is the reality of Oklahoma. Oklahoma is one of the true blue blood programs in all of college football. Like when you talk about the very tippy top tier of best programs in college football, Oklahoma is that. But let me tell you what Oklahoma's walking into. A whole bunch of blue bloods with Georgia, Texas, Alabama, you know. And then look at the next tier of programs, the Floridas, the LSUs, the Auburns. You know, now all of a sudden you're not as big a fish in that pond as you were when it's Iowa State, TCU, and all those schools. You know, even in the Big Eight days when it was Missouri and other than Nebraska, you know, Colorado and teams like that, you're not the big fish anymore in that. And there is something to that, that Southern Cal's the big fish. I keep telling you all this. The Pac-12 wants to be relevant. When Southern Cal wins, that's when they'll be relevant. That is the number one football program west of the Rocky Mountains in the United States of America. There is no more important program than Southern Cal west of the Rockies. And until they get good, with all due respect to Oregon and this and that, those programs won't get the same respect that Southern Cal does. And I'm going to ask, and I'm going to talk to the guys about this on Saturday as well. And I'm just, this is theory, this is hyperbole, this is just me talking out loud about it, okay? I still think Lincoln Riley has aspirations to be in the NFL. I'm not saying you can't coach in the NFL being at Oklahoma, but look historically at coaches at Southern Cal. John McKay got an NFL job. John Robinson got an NFL job. Pete Carroll got an NFL job. Lane Kiffin got an NFL job. Guys go to the NFL if you win at Southern Cal. Now, I'm trying to remember, outside of Barry Switzer, who got a job from Oklahoma in the NFL? And Barry Switzer got that because his buddy is Jerry Jones, right? He took over Jimmy Johnson's team and won the Super Bowl with him, remember? Carrying a gun through the airport. Remember he had a gun in his carry-on bag in the airport? And I love me some Barry Switzer. But I think there is something about if you want to get in the NFL, a place like Southern Cal. I just ran you down. John McKay, John Robinson, Lane Kiffin, Pete Carroll. Guys that win big at Steve Sarkisian. You win big at Southern Cal. That's looked at by the NFL. And part of it is, traditionally, they've been a more pro-style type of team, the way they've run their offense and things like that. But I think there is something to that. I think there's looking at Oklahoma and saying, we're not the biggest fish in the pond anymore. You know, compared to Bama, Florida, Georgia. Look where Georgia's at right now. Georgia is clearly the best team in America. And I don't think it's all that close right now. Michigan may be number two. They ain't beating Georgia. Boy, just beat Ohio State. I know. And ain't running for 295 on Georgia. Let me assure you, I'll bet your house and my house ain't running for 295 on Georgia. I kept telling you all year, ain't nobody going to score on Georgia. Nobody. Bama might get a little bit here and there. Bama ain't putting 45 up on Georgia. Michigan ain't putting 45 up on Georgia. It's not happening. This is, we'll talk about more of this on Saturday because I really do believe, I've said the best defense I ever saw in my life, in my lifetime in college football, was that 86 Oklahoma Sooners team. That's Brian Bosworth. They were the first defense, I think, of ever in college football to be number one against the run, number one against pass, number one in total defense, number one in scoring. They were number one across the board in all the major categories. I think they were the first defense ever to do that. 85 was Bosworth and Tony Casillas and all those guys. 86, Casillas is gone, and they were like, we're even a better defense. And, yeah, it's a different time in a different era. But still, that was the best defense I had seen out of a college football team. Georgia may even be better than that. In modern college football, which is all about offense, Georgia's given up 7.5 points a game. That's absurd. Playing in the SEC, and they played Clemson out of schedule, and they played Georgia Tech. You know, Georgia Tech did score points this year. Georgia Tech didn't get shut out when they beat North Carolina, right? Georgia Tech has scored some points, you know, at times over the year. I like Georgia Tech's only averaging 4 points a game. Couldn't do nothing. That's how good Georgia's been this year. They've dominated everybody that they've played. And I think Oklahoma, I think Lincoln Riley says, hey, Oklahoma's a great program, but we're not the same big fish in a pond anymore. Well, he's running from it. Hey, man, you go to where you want to make your legacy and what's best for you, you know? Yeah. I mean, big payday. And look, USC's not a step down, folks, from Oklahoma. It's not a step down. So I think USC did itself well. I think that LSU did itself well. I think Florida did itself well. I saw Virginia Tech hired, was it Penn State's OC or DC? I forget who it was. I ran through it real quickly. I didn't even pay too much attention. I just saw it on a headline for all of it. But I think that some of these big jobs have big hires to them. And Brett Pry got hired he's the DC for Penn State. Yeah. I don't know enough about Brent Pry to tell you. Remember, Jim Moorhead was the offense coordinator at Penn State when they had Barkley and all those guys, and he went to Mississippi State and got blown out in, what, a year? You hear it 1 year, 2 years, whatever it was, Miss State? That didn't last very long, huh? So I don't know. We'll see what Brent Pry can do. I still think Virginia Tech should have gone after Dan Mullen. That would have been my first phone call, would have been, go get him some Dan Mullen. Go get a guy who's won at a mid-tier program before. Remember, Mississippi State was the number one team in America when he had Dak Prescott and those guys there. Dan Mullen can recruit. Who's that guy that wears number 8 for the Falcons? Did he make him a pretty good player with the 4th overall draft pick? Okay. He didn't have anything to do with that, huh? Kyle Trask made him an NFL quarterback, didn't he? Oh, okay. All right. Kadarius Toney, didn't he get drafted in the first round of the draft? Oh, okay. Where'd he play? Oh, Florida. Oh, okay. All right. Just making sure. I remembered all that. Remember they were in the SEC title game last year. Anybody remember that? When they had Trask and Pitts and Toney? Okay. Who coached that team? That wasn't Ron Zook. Anyway. Just be careful what you wish for on some of these things. So I think the big I love this. I love the fact that guys are looking around and surveying the landscape and saying, and that's why I've always advocated for free agency in college football. That's why I want name, image, and likeness. That's why I want guys to be able to transfer around. If the coaches can do all this stuff, players should have every opportunity. Players should have opportunity to make more money. Players should have an opportunity to get money for their collegiate aptitude or whatever I'm trying to say out of all of it. And they should be able to go and play for some teams. I just saw Fresno's quarterback is transferring out. That kid's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And they were a 9-win team this year. Hey, man, go make your stead and go make your bones and go make you some money. Right? If the coaches are all going to do it, kids absolutely should be able to do all of that stuff. So now we talk about this for a minute. Cliff Kingsbury to Oklahoma. Why would Cliff Kingsbury leave the Arizona Cardinals right now? They're maybe the best team in the NFC. They've got a shot to get or win a Super Bowl. Why is he leaving that to go to Oklahoma? No, Oklahoma's a great collegiate job. You go to the Super Bowl at Arizona in the NFL and you're going to go to college, huh? What? What? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And look, Oklahoma, Notre Dame. Those are two programs that I like to say in college football. There are certain programs in college football that you go take somebody's coach. right? Southern Cal is a program that you go take somebody's coach. LSU is a program that you go take somebody's coach. You know what those two programs just did? They went and took somebody's coach. When we get back, it will be time for That's Life. Be careful what your red Solo cup may eventually be made out of. This is a sticky subject that we'll get to. Plus our top 10 as well. Sports right after the game. Odyssey.com, man.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show, live in the Kia Studios. 9:22 on this Tuesday. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us on the go. Social media, not on the game, at JMCH316. We'll hear from Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone, woo! At 9:40 as AEW is in town tomorrow night. I had to catch up with Tony, or had a chance to catch up with Tony earlier on in the show. We'll get to our top 10 here in just a minute. Dylan, they have too much free time in China nowadays. A group of scientists has invented a new eco-friendly plastic to which that they can mold into different shapes. For instance, like cups and all kinds of different things. They say cups, puzzle pieces, all kinds of stuff like that. Do you know what this new eco-friendly plastic is made of?
What's that?
Salmon sperm.
Oh.
Let me repeat that. Salmon sperm. A new eco-friendly plastic made from salmon sperm has been invented by scientists in China. What kind of free time do those people have over there? How they, I have no idea where you could come up with the concept and idea of, you know what, we've got all this salmon sperm just laying around. What should we do with it? I know. Let's make a red Solo cup out of it.
I'm trying to figure out how much the person who has to gather said sperm.
Oh yeah.
How much are they getting paid?
Yeah. How about the salmon? Like how much? how much overtime is the salmon working? Like when is the salmon going to union? Of course, they're in China. They'll get thrown in the gulag if they try. But the salmon should unionize. You're gonna take all my sperm and I'm not even gonna make more salmon out of it. You're gonna make red Solo cups out of all of it? No. They say that this is a better alternative than traditional plastic. I don't know. Sounds pretty sticky anyway. this story is fascinating. There's a guy in I got to clear out. There's a guy in Ohio that recently died back in May, and I'm trying to get to his name and everything. Don't you hate these newspapers that want you to like sign up for their subscriptions and all that. This guy who changed his name and died in May, on his deathbed confessed to a crime. In 1969, this guy worked at a bank in Ohio and was inspired by the Thomas Crown Affair. Now, I had to explain to Dylan what Thomas Crown. That was a movie, the original one starred Steve McQueen, and I think it was it Jacqueline Bisset? Faye Dunaway, right? Faye Dunaway and Steve McQueen were in the original. I know Steve McQueen was Thomas Crown. Then they remade it with Rene Russo and Pierce Brosnan, James Bond, and remade it. But Thomas Crown is an art thief. He steals artworks and stuff like that. This guy was inspired by him that he worked at a bank and was telling his friends how he could take money and walk out and not come back. Well, he did that. He stole in 1969 $217,000, which in today's market would be $1.6 million. So imagine a guy walks into a bank that is an employee there, steals $1.6 million, walks out, and never comes back to work. And they could never figure out who it was. And this guy just died in May of this year and confessed on his deathbed to the crime. And now his family has revealed to and he was one of the FBI's, you know, a very wanted suspect for decades. So think about that. From 1969 till how many years is that? 52 years or whatever? That he went without being caught, never was found, and we only know about it because he confessed on his deathbed to his family. Out of it. Changed his name, lived a different life. He lived a very simple life. Because as I was telling Dylan, $1.6 million, with all due respect, doesn't go very far. I mean, I understand $1.6 million is $1.6 million, but you know, you buy a house, buy a car, and I'm not even talking about like outliving your means. Just money goes by very, very quickly. I mean, it just does. I mean, so, but still, pretty ballsy to work at a bank, and you got away with it as one of the FBI's most wanted, not one of their 10 most wanted, but he was on their most wanted list for decades and got away with it. That's crazy to think about. All right, it is the holiday season, so I know last year we were doing our favorite Christmas song stuff. So tonight's top 10 list, top 10 favorite Christmas movies. Dylan, the floor is yours.
All right, Chuck, this is for all of my not-so-dopey but still kind of dopey millennials. I'm going to start at number 10. Number 10 for me, I know it's probably one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time and, you know, respect to it. But it's that number 10 because I haven't seen it. It's Die Hard. I haven't seen Die Hard, so I can't put it far up the ranks.
You've never seen Die Hard?
Not a second of it, Chuck.
Why?
Not a second.
Why?
I don't know. I just haven't seen it. I'll do my best to watch it season.
I'll go ahead and give you a spoiler. Die Hard is the best Christmas movie of all time. Die Hard is the best Christmas. And it is a Christmas movie, and we've explained exactly why it's a Christmas movie. But it is a Christmas movie, and it's the best Christmas movie of all time. It's also one of the best action movies of all time, and Alan Rickman should have won an Oscar for playing Hans Gruber. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
All right, so Die Hard number 10. It might move up, you know, next time we do this list once I've seen it. At number 9, I got the claymation, you know, version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So I got to put that up there.
Yes. All of those, and that was a lot of that stuff even predates me as a kid. As the
oh, yeah,
some
those
of that
are
stuff
from
is.
Way
yeah,
back
yeah,
in the day.
Like in the late 60s.
So I got that at number 9. Number 8, The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. That was a pretty good movie, and that was during my time. So solid movie there. I like that one.
I've got Santa Claus on my list. I think it's an nice, underrated movie.
Well.
I think Tim Allen is really – I think actually both of them. I mean, the second one gets a little hokey with Martin Short and all that kind of stuff. But I agree with you. The first one, I think, is very clever. I think it's very clever the way that movie comes together.
Yes, the first one is excellent. The rest of that are like, yeah. 7, A Christmas Carol. I mean, that's a classic movie. I have seen that one, John Chuckery, with Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge. So, and I'm talking about the original one. I've seen the original one, too. So there you go.
What year is the original one? I remember the one with George. I remember George C. Scott was in one. I don't know if that's considered the original one or not. I don't like the Christmas Carol story.
You don't?
No.
Oh.
No. I like Scrooge. I enjoy him because that'd be me. But anyway.
So Christmas Carol at 7. There's a new movie, and again, I'm doing this for all of my not-so-dopey-dopey millennials. Chuck, you could go check this one out. You might like this one. I'm going to give you a brief synopsis. It's called Love Hard. It's a Christmas movie. So,
I have seen Love Hard.
You've seen Love Hard?
Yeah, it's the triple X version, I'm assuming, right? Oh, it's not? Oh, okay,
no.
Sorry. All right.
No, it's no sperm in that
okay.
one.
Okay.
No sperm in this one. So Love Hard is about this girl who, you know, is trying to go on all these dates, and she works for this magazine, and she writes about her bad dates for this magazine. So she finally thinks she's found the one. She goes out to surprise him for Christmas. They've been texting, you know, on the phone and whatever. So turns out she gets catfished. It's a dude who, you know, he was stealing pictures from this actual – from a dude he knows.
Right.
So, you know, they try to work together, her and the dude that catfished him, into setting him up and setting her up with, you know, the dude that, and you know, was actually in the pictures because, you know, that's who she was after and thought she fell in love with. Well, turns out they don't work out and, you know, obviously they fall in love and all that good stuff. So there you go. Love Hard is actually a pretty good movie. It's on Netflix.
I like that – what's her name? Michaela Hoover. I like her.
Oh, yeah.
Very much like her. I'm looking at the cast right now out of all of it. So I do not remember the movie Love Hard. But listen, again, my version is a little bit different. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize. I digress.
Is your version sticky, too?
Yeah. Yes. No plastic.
Right. Okay, quickly. Number five, Christmas Story. I mean, it's a classic. I've seen that
Christmas
one, too.
Christmas Story is fantastic.
Christmas Story
That's
is good.
That's my number two.
Yeah, I mean.
Christmas Story is my number two.
It's got to at least be, you know, top five or top
tremendous.
Two or whatever.
Yeah.
It's up there. Number four, Home Alone. A lot of people, I feel like, well, most people probably know
the
Home Alone
is a Christmas
story.
The first Home Alone is great. I could do without the second Home Alone. Like, second Home Alone, I get it. I mean, they made so much. That movie was such a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
About how much money they made. Like, they never anticipated making that. That movie has made so many gazillions of dollars.
They had to keep going.
Yeah, they had to keep making more movies. Even when Macaulay Culkin was like 41 years old. Like, and by the way, he did that. Was it last year or the year before where he did that video where he updated Home Alone or whatever?
Oh,
it was
yeah. I remember
tremendous.
That. Yep.
Tremendous.
That was
but yeah,
awesome.
Even a 40-year-old Macaulay Culkin, they're like, yeah, we can do one more of these movies.
Right. We can squeeze out the last couple nickels and dimes.
It's Home Alone because he's home alone after he's had a drug rehab or whatever at that point.
All right, so four is Home Alone. Number three, Polar Express. Great Christmas movie.
You know,
one of the top ones.
That is on my list as well. Yep. And it did not get a lot of love when it came out in the theaters. People were like, it's really kind of weird. The more as I've gotten older, mm-hmm. I appreciate Polar Express more.
Oh, yeah.
I really, really enjoy Polar Express. I love to watch that movie with my daughter. I love watching the Polar Express. I think it's a very good movie. What's his name? Josh Groban sings the song in all of it. I know it was a book first and all that, but and Tom Hanks obviously does just about every character in the movie. But that movie has gotten much better and much more popular over the years than when it first came. Because when it first came out, it did not do very well at box office and things like that. But that movie has aged a lot better than some of these other ones.
It's aged very, very well. And even myself, when it first came out, I was a lot younger. And then when I watched it again in like college and all that stuff, I was like, oh, this movie is actually very, very good once
you
understand it more.
Yes, I agree with you.
Number two, this is a newer Netflix movie, but it really hit once it came out. It's called Jingle Jangle. Are you familiar with that one, Chuck?
Jingle Jangle. There's another version. No, I am not familiar with. I'm looking it up now. Jingle Jangle, okay?
Jingle Jangle.
This came out like last year, I guess.
Yep. It is very, very recent. It's very good. That plot's a little more timely to explain. But anywho.
Oh, yeah. It's got Forrest Whitaker.
Yep.
Keegan-Michael Kay is in it, so I like all of them. Oh, Felicia Rashad. Is it Ricky Martin is in it?
No,
wow.
It's a lot. They got a little star power in that one. And even Keegan-Michael Key is in that one.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, I mean, he's what's it, Peel and Key?
Yeah.
He's the key of it, and I love me some Forrest Whitaker.
And then number one, the one I grew up on, the one I will always go back and watch, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. You can give me the Jim Carrey version or the original animated Dr. Seuss version, but The Grinch Who Stole Christmas is always my number one.
I would have to say that I'm not crazy about the Jim Carrey one. The animated one, though, very good. That was, Boris Karloff voices the Grinch, who was a famous – Boris Karloff played Frankenstein in the black and white movie. All right,
okay.
So he was a horror. I think he played the werewolf, too, didn't he? I think Boris Karloff played the werewolf as well. I got the Santa Claus on my list as well. I'm with you on that. I think, again, as I said, I think that's a very underrated movie. Home Alone is on my list as well. I'm surprised you didn't have Elf.
I forgot about. How could I forget
Elf?
Elf
is so
I forgot
I mean,
about
that's,
Elf.
That's my daughter and I's movie to like. I love Elf. And did you see the story here a couple weeks ago that Will Ferrell turned down like $20 million to do another Elf?
Did he really?
Yeah, like they wanted to make a second Elf. You know who directed Elf?
Uh-uh.
Jon Favreau.
Oh.
The guy from, you know who Jon Favreau is?
No.
Okay, you never saw Swingers, did you?
No.
Okay. You ever see Iron Man?
Yes.
Okay. His driver, you know, the kind of heavier set guy that's his driver?
Oh, yeah, Happy.
Yes, Happy.
That's Jon Favreau.
That's Jon Favreau.
That's right,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, do yourself a favor. Go see Swingers.
Okay.
That's Vince Vaughn. It might have been his first movie. Vince Vaughn, Jon Favreau, go see Swingers. Swingers is a great guy movie. I'm telling you, go see Swingers. Love that movie. That's a movie where Vince Vaughn is on the table singing, Vegas, baby, Vegas. But anyway, go see that movie. But he directed Elf, and I guess they wanted to do a second one, and he turned down like $20 million. You know, the only sequel that Will Ferrell's ever done, right, is Anchorman. That's the only sequel he's ever done.
Out of all the sequels.
Yes. Polar Express, I told you I have that as well. Again, Christmas Story is the second best Christmas movie of all time. Jingle All the Way. I love that with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I enjoy that where he's going after the toy.
Yep.
Because I've been that route
like
trying to
that
find
one.
That toy that you can never find before. I'm surprised you didn't have Christmas Vacation. I don't know if you're one of the vacation movie guys or not.
I don't
not.
Know if I've seen that one,
with
honestly.
Chevy Chase?
It sounds familiar.
Okay, so they have all the vacation movies. Mm-hmm. Vegas Vacation, the first vacation, the second one where they're in Europe. Go see Christmas Vacation. Tremendous movie. Scrooged with Bill Murray. Another great. That's an 80s movie, probably a little bit before your time. Old school, but obviously one of the great songs, Linus and Lucy, but A Charlie Brown Christmas. I love me some Charlie Brown Christmas.
Charlie
the animated,
mm-hmm.
obviously. And the great song, Linus and Lucy, dun a dun a dun a dun a dun dun.
Yep.
And of course, again, as I said, the greatest Christmas movie of all time, without a doubt, Die Hard, baby. Yippee-ki-yay. When we come back, Tony Schiavone, woo, joined us earlier in the show. What he had to say up next. Chuck, we're hanging out with you. Headed toward 11, Sports Radio After the Game, Odyssey.com, Ben, or Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show live on this Tuesday evening with you. Of course, tomorrow being Wednesday, you know what that means. It's a dynamite Wednesday. Is AEW is going to be right here in Atlanta, Gas South Arena in Duluth, of course, making their they've been here. It was a long time ago since they've been in Atlanta. AEWTix.com is where you can get your tickets as Gas South Arena will host them tomorrow night. And the man who will be on the call, he, of course, is a friend of our station. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our guy, Tony Schiavone, of course. Follow Tony on Twitter, at Tony Schiavone 24. And Tony, man, feels like it's been a long time, man. I said we miss you around here, man. You still are the guy that we always talk about, man, that we can't believe we had a chance to work with Tony Schiavone at one time.
Well, John Chuckery, I appreciate you saying that, buddy. I worked for other radio stations in the Atlanta market, but 92.9 The Game, you guys were had a great team, great leadership. Love working with you guys, and I'm sorry I had to do other things, but I miss you guys probably as much as you miss me, and I think about you guys often. So it's great to talk to you, man. I'm really excited about tomorrow night, and I'm excited about being back in Gwinnett County and back in the Metro Atlanta area to do wrestling again.
Before we get into the show, let's give you a quick plug. Butts and Seats, the graphic novel, the Tony Schiavone story come to life. How much fun was this project for you to work on?
It kind of blew my mind, John. I never thought that. Well, there was – some people had said, hey, write a book. And I thought, I don't want to do that. books are hard work. I mean, I've been told by a lot of people. But then when it was approached to me to do a comic book, I said, yeah, I love comic books, and I love superheroes, and I love that genre. And I'd love to look at that, take a look at it, and it came to life. And it kind of blew me away that it's been as successful as it's been. Now, it hasn't really hit the shelves as of yet, but I believe it's going to hit. Wait a minute. It may have just hit the shelves. I know it's been on Amazon, and I know that some comic book stores are getting it in now in some bookstores. With that in mind, John, and here's your Tony Schiavone shameless plug. This Saturday, I'm going to be in Infinite Realities on La Vista Road in Tucker at the comic book shop. They're one of the best comic book shops in the Atlanta area, and I'll be signing copies of Butts and Seats. So that'll
be
nice. From 11 to 6, while – many are getting ready to enjoy the Georgia Bulldogs and what's that other team's name? Oh, yes, the Alabama Crimson Tide. And so I'll be there. But, yeah, the comic book has been wonderful. Thanks for asking. I'm really, really very, very honored that there's something out with my name on it like that.
You know, Tony, when you got away from wrestling, and you put all of it behind you. And now that you're back, in the basically two-decade gap in between, are you amazed at how much the business has changed, just the dynamic of the business, the performers? I mean, it is totally different looking at wrestling in 2021 versus, mid-late 90s wrestling.
Yeah, there's no question. I've said many times, John, that I think that if you take a look at what happened in the 90s, I think the style that was ECW back then has kind of stood the test of time more than any. And that ECW style combined with basic pro wrestling that I knew as a kid has combined to make what we do and what we see now. But it's they just do so many crazy things now. And I tell these guys a lot, I say, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you putting your body on the line to have a good TV show, but you need to, they say that wrestler has a bump card, and I just don't know. Sometimes the bumps these guys do and the crazy things they do just amaze me, but it is a different brand of wrestling than I've been used to. But I can tell you this, John, there's a lot of things have remained the same as far as I'm concerned, and that is the hectic schedule that we put on during the day on Wednesday to get a TV show off, because it's always been the same. I mean, there are rewrites and there are changes and there are discussions, and that has never really changed. And I guess maybe that's more a part of entertainment as much as pro wrestling. I know from that one movie I worked on back in 1999, Ready to Rumble, I know there were rewrites and changes at the last minute for that. So I'm sure the entertainment business has that. But behind the scenes, there's a lot that remains the same. Out what you see in the camera, on the camera, a lot has changed. And here's what else has changed, too. John, when I first started, the wrestlers were either my age. Well, the wrestlers were older than me, okay? Mm-hmm. And now I'm older than the wrestlers. So I'm calling matches for kids, basically. Kids that are the age of my kids. And they most of them watch me in the 90s and loved what I did. And I'm really happy to be able to help out their careers. I feel like I'm a very instrumental part in letting these guys and girls get ahead and make a name in pro wrestling.
Voice of your childhood, Tony Schiavone, joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Of course, AEW is going to be here in Atlanta tomorrow night, Gas South Arena in Duluth. Get your tickets at AEWTix.com. You and Britt Baker have had a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, it's crazy to think, Tony, but you think about the start of AEW, and I've been watching since the very beginning, and you know I'm a diehard fan of wrestling and have been, you know, right. 84 was my first live events in wrestling, for God's sakes. But I think Britt has done such a magnificent job of finding a way to connect with the audience, to get over. I'm not sure anybody has done a better job coming into the company just and kind of taking over and just leaping themselves to the top the way that she has.
I've always said, John, that, and I really believe this, to really become a top-notch star in wrestling, you have to be able to talk, and you have to be able to do the promo, and you have to be able to connect with the fans on some sort of level. All the greats did that, as you know. Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Roddy Piper, Tully Arn, all the greats were able, The Rock, were able to connect with the fans. Britt is able to do that, and she knows how to talk, and she knows how to cut a promo, and she knows what to say, and it is absolutely entertaining being able to hold the microphone for her. This thing kind of started as a joke between me and her. When we were on the Jericho cruise, I had an interview in the ring with her on the Jericho cruise, and obviously right before the pandemic. And Tony Khan had told me, he said, listen, I'm going to have Britt bring up your Starbucks because we're going to turn her heel. So we're going to have her bring up your work at Starbucks. Do you mind? I said, no, not at all. Whatever you want, it's fine with me. I mean, if you think it'll work. And she did. And we kind of hit it off there. And we thought that would kind of be a one-off to help her, you know, forge her way different way. But it became a kind of a weekly thing where she would come out and talk to me and kind of rip me on my Starbucks. And now all of a sudden I became her own microphone holder. And I just absolutely love working with her. And we've done a lot of videos together and we make each other laugh. My gosh, we laugh and laugh and laugh. So, you know, she's younger than my younger kids. So there's another one for you, too. But, yeah, she's wonderful. She really is. She is quite a talent. And I'm glad that I'm able to be around and be a part of her success in AEW here.
Yeah, and you and I both agree we love Rebel as well. But that's a separate discussion
for
another day. But
Rebel's my girl. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Tony, obviously you guys have in AEW a lot of performers that came over from the other promotion. How right. much more liberated do those guys feel right now? There is kind of a sense in watching some of these guys, Punk and Bryan Danielson, that these guys feel like they're more liberated. When you watch the promos, it has a different feel and vibe than things that they were probably, for lack of a better term, forced to do in the past.
Yeah. Well, first of all, our promos are not scripted. And I say that because I know that you hear, and I didn't work in the WWE during the period where they scripted interviews, but you hear the interviews are scripted there. So what Tony Khan does is enable and lets the wrestlers use their own character and come up with their own lines and just do promos the way old promos used to be done. And I think that also, it's part of what they do in the ring. I think he lets them, you know, have a big handle into what their character is going to be like and what the match is going to be like and come up with the finish of the match and come up with all the intricacies of the match. So they have a much more creative input in their character. And I think that makes them feel better about what they do than maybe what they knew. And not only that, John, we've used some guys who have really worked hard on the independent circuit and never did get a shot. And the first one that comes to mind is Eddie Kingston. As the story goes, and it's a true story, Eddie had to sell his boots and his gear to make house payments before he came on to and met Cody for the TNT title on Dynamite. We signed him, and he has now become one of our biggest stars and is making a great living. And that just shows you that Tony loves to use guys who have really struggled and really cut their teeth on the independent circuit. Bryan Danielson was one of those guys, and I know Bryan obviously went on to be a big star for Vince, but CM Punk was a big star on the independent circuit, and they appreciate that. They appreciate that from Tony, and we're getting guys from the WWE. I know there's no question with Adam Cole and Danielson and CM Punk, but I think you'll see, because we see 2.0 and you see Daniel Garcia, you see guys who've wrestled hard on the independent circuit as well get a chance here, and I think that's very important. It's important to the backstage area. It's important for the morale of the backstage area to see guys who have struggled to come and make a name for themselves.
AEWTix.com. Get your tickets tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Gas South Arena in Duluth, Georgia. AEW will be in town. Tony Schiavone joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. By the way, at Tony Schiavone 24 on Twitter. Butts and Seats is the graphic novel to check out. Every Wednesday, What Happened When? Check out his podcast on all your favorite platforms. And Tony, we've had Jim Ross on the show a couple of times. Please pass along well wishes to Jim. I know he's going through a lot right now and going to be off TV for a while. So pass along some well wishes to him. And Tony, I can't say enough about thanking you for being part of the show tonight.
I will, John. Thank you for saying that. I talk to Jim every week, and I'm going to miss him tomorrow night. But he'll be back soon. And as always, it's great talking to you. And my best to everyone at 92.9 The Game, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Coming up next at the top of the hour, it will be time for a college football roundup. All your news and notes in the world of college football. It's all next. It is the John Shuckley Show, live with you here.
It's John Shuckley. We will be back. Sports Radio After The Game and the Odyssey.com app.